Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those of you joining us again, welcome back. If you are in the Los Angeles area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including all of those right here in the absolutely gorgeous, loving it, turning into fall, San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. And you can log into the chat room, which is now open. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can type them in, and Producer Kina will make sure that I get them. So, I saw a really very, very cool movie. And I don't go to movies often. And I had an opportunity to spend some time with a really dear friend of mine. And we decided we were going to go see a movie called Inside Out. And I was just blown away. And I am highly recommending this movie, and I'm going to explain why. This is a movie that deals with the different aspects, what goes on in our head as we think of things, as we perceive things. And one of the things that, you know, is going on in there, there's neurological activity, there's keeping our heart pumping and our blood flowing and moving all the things through our body and all the daily functions, but there are also emotions. And this movie gives a very comedic sort of response to, gee, what is my anger in my head looking like? And, you know, what are the parts of me that when I'm facing a problem, what goes on in there sort of from an old, you know, those of you who remember the TV show Herman's Head, or, you know, the idea that there is this council or this group and they're in there trying to figure out how to respond, and one is anger and one is fear and, you know, there's love and joy and all of these things. And the idea that as we move through life, we have experiences. And those experiences shape our perceptions. I mean, if we're talking about the aspect of fear that's up there, and, you know, if fear is seated at our council, you know, what does it look like? What is its behavior? Well, I would guess fearful. The thing is that we had to learn to be afraid of things. If you've ever watched a small child go out and do things, they want to touch everything, they want to put everything in their mouths, they want to, you know, they have no hesitation to move around the world. Because in their world, they have yet to learn what fear means. As we grow, we learn that. So the idea of sort of personifying those aspects and thinking, okay, you know, if something's coming up and you're feeling a particular emotion, you know, what really is that emotion doing? What is its purpose? How is it responding inside of you? And how are you responding to it? You know, it's like a stimulus response thing. And the focus of the film was actually on the emotion of sadness. And often people spend a lot of their time trying to avoid sadness because it's not fun. It's not fun to feel sad. It's not fun to be in that low energy place. It's not fun to grieve. So that is something that we really want to avoid. The problem is that we are human and we are meant to experience all of these emotions. And yes, certain emotions get kind of a bad rap. Anger gets a very bad rap because, well, it makes us disagreeable. It makes us pushy. It makes us, well, not a team player. And yet, anger can also drive us to take up a social cause that is, you know, is really important to us. People who see something going on in the world that's wrong, they get angry. And it's their anger that allows them to say, you know what, I am not going to put up with this. This cannot continue. We're going to make sure that, you know, these people are taken care of. So it can be a good thing. Fear can prevent you from doing fun things, and it also keeps you from putting a bag on your head and running onto the freeway, because fear knows that bad things will happen. When we look at sadness, it's a little bit more difficult to perceive what it is that, you know, that could be a benefit from that, because it comes from, you know, really our world not being what we would like it to be in that moment. And sometimes really badly not being what we would like it to be in that moment. It deals with loss. It deals with denial. Maybe it deals with abandonment. It deals with being alone or feeling lonely or feeling that something very important to you is no longer a part of your life. And while, okay, it is not a fun way to spend an afternoon, it is also vital in order for us to be our authentic selves to experience sadness. And not only is it vital for us to experience sadness, it's vital for us to be able to understand when somebody else is feeling sad. And it can create an awkward time because sometimes people don't know what to say when somebody feels sad. They want them to just stop feeling sad because, you know, if somebody else is feeling sad, then maybe we feel sad and we don't want to feel sad. So it can create, no, don't cry, don't cry. You're okay, don't cry. Or, you know, you need to be positive. You need to look at the positive side. You need to focus on that and not focus on sadness. And while, yeah, there are times when it's like, well, you know, you need to look at the glass half full, we have to realize that sometimes the glass is totally empty. And I've always said that, you know, my personal feeling about life is that it's fun until it isn't, and it sucks until it doesn't. And the part where it sucks until it doesn't, that's where the sadness comes in. You're not going to be sad forever. The sadness doesn't last forever. It's just something that needs to happen every once in a while so we can be authentic. There are times that it's perfectly appropriate to be sad. And when we look at the bigger picture of sadness, which is grief, when we consider what the five stages of grief are, we look at denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. Now, I think it's important to realize that depression is right next to acceptance. Sadness is that place where we surrender to it, where we let go, where we give up trying to put, you know, a happy face on it, where we give up trying to maintain an illusion that, no, it's okay. It doesn't bother me that you forgot my birthday. It doesn't bother me that, you know, that I feel left out. No, I'm okay with it, really. And we tell ourselves all these sweet, wonderful things that sound good to other people because then they can go, oh, they're fine. You know, have you ever had somebody ask you how you're doing and your reflex is to say, oh, I'm fine, when you are anything but? And sometimes people go, oh, well, she said she's fine. All right, moving on. Let's go do something else. Or, oh, you're fine. Well, let me dump on you about all the horrible things going on in my life. And, you know, when you're in that state of, you know, I really don't need to hear it, and yet you listen to it anyway, that does not improve things. That really only makes it worse. And if you're feeling sad and somebody says, how are you feeling? I find it fascinating that a lot of people have a really hard time just saying, you know what, I'm really feeling sad. And yet how empowering that is. Somebody else know, hey, I need some help here. I need some support. Because often people aren't used to saying, you know, it's like, oh, well, they feel fine, or they say they're fine, but I'm not getting that they're fine. And maybe, you know, they're worried. It's like, well, maybe I don't want to open that can of worms. And when somebody says, you know what, you don't look fine, what's going on? If somebody knows you that well, if somebody feels that close to you that they're going to put what they have on hold and say, okay, wait a minute, stop the bus, you're not fine. And you don't get to say you're fine when you're not. What's going on is probably one of the moments that you can feel closest to someone. When you can just let it go and give in to what you're feeling. Maybe right in that moment, all you need is to have them walk up, open their arms, and hug you as you cry. That has such a healing capacity. And yet, how many times do we really feel that it's okay to let somebody know that that's what we need? Because it's through that sadness, it's on the other side of that sadness, maybe an exhaustive round of just crying or venting or whatever. There's that place where you just feel like it's all emptied out and you actually feel better. You feel more balanced. You feel calmer inside because there's somebody there who is bearing witness to the fact that you're in a really tough place, that they're holding that space for you, that they're holding you, and that you can just let it go and have them just say, you know what, I'm so sorry you're going through that. It's going to be okay. I'm right here. I have been both on the giving and receiving end of that. And that is a very special place to be able to help somebody move through the sadness to the place of acceptance, because then it's not so scary. It's not so overwhelming when you can have that moment of just admitting, I have not got under control. I can't cover this. Maybe it's somebody, you know, admitting that they're being mistreated and they've been holding that secret inside of themselves. Maybe they've got some deep wounding, but, you know, they're worried about what other people would think. And so they hold on to it and they bury that sadness down with either, you know, false joy and enthusiasm, or maybe through just denial that the feeling is there, or going into anger, or sometimes going into, you know, ingesting a substance, alcohol, drugs, whatever. Sometimes it's self-destructive behavior. But what it's hiding is that you're sad. And if you are in that situation where you're just sad, and maybe you don't even know why you're sad, it's about the emotion trying to help you release that energy that's built up in there. Because, you know, you're trying to hold on to it and it's not going to go away. It's not going to be released. And sometimes all it takes is someone looking at you with infinite gentleness and compassion and saying, are you okay? Talk to me. And then it releases. And all the pent-up energy that's built in comes out in a flood of tears and a runny nose. And then you move past that to, okay, I've let it out, now what do I do? And that's when having somebody there to explain the situation to have them be able to go, okay, I hear you, let's fix this. Let's take care of this. And recently I've been dealing a lot with folks who have been going through different processes of sadness, and they don't know what to do with it. And the first thing to do with it is acknowledge it. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you should spend, like, you know, a year just miserable every single moment of the day, because that's draining. You know, that's not letting it go. That's just stirring it up more and keeping it there inside of you. Once you release it, figure something else to fill that vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And so as the energy of that sadness comes out, something else needs to come in. And it doesn't need to be, you know, Pollyanna-fic joy. Oh, you know, I'm fine now. I had a good cry and I'm good. That's just the release part. It's what is an action step that I can take to bring my life back to where I would like it to be. Because once you've had the good cry, then it's time for action. And if you don't know what that action is, that's perfectly fine. Figure out who can help you figure out what that action is. And even if it's going outside and taking several deep breaths, or, you know, just deciding to get up if you're stuck in your house and you've been in there and depressed, getting up and going, you know, going to a park or going near the water or going to the beach, it doesn't correct the problem, no, but it allows you to have some space where you can look at it a little bit more objectively. Pressing the sadness just traps you in it, really. It does not let anything move. And by opening yourself up, and especially by letting somebody know that you're sad, sharing what it is with someone who you can trust to just be able to, you know, not say, oh, well, that's terrible for you, but wait till you hear what's happening to me. No, that's not the friend to talk to right then. You call on the friend, or you call on the counselor, or you call on the spiritual leader, someone who can listen to you, take you through that expression of the sadness, and then go, okay, what is it that you would like to have happen? And let's put together a plan for you to be able to make that happen. And that's where the empowering step comes in. It comes in because suddenly you're not stuck in that downward spiral. You're not trapped in that whirlpool. Suddenly there's a direct action. There's a motion. And you can be able to build on that, create momentum to dig your way out of the hole. And, I mean, yeah, I honestly, I get what it means to have that crushing level of sadness that you really feel you can't put anywhere. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. I've mentioned before on the show that, you know, there are many people who have lost homes during the whole subprime loan thing and, you know, and have lost their homes. And I was one of them. And it was my parents' home, you know, and I had to take a loan, and then, you know, it was a subprime loan and all this other stuff. And very long story short, I had to short sell the home that my parents had bought in, you know, like, 1969. And I had a lot of emotion, a lot of sadness, a lot of guilt around that. And, you know, I had stuff to do. So I buried it, and I buried it, and I buried it, and I found a wonderful place to live, an absolutely perfect home. Everything that I ever dreamed, it was in the woods, it was near a river, it was everything that I dreamed, yet I wasn't happy there. And I couldn't be happy. And I reached a point where I woke up one morning and I just began to cry. And I cried and I cried. And I didn't want to get up. And I didn't want to, you know, the dog was saying, hey, let me out, take me for my walk. I didn't want to do any of that. But I had to. So, you know, I threw some water on my face and, you know, went on about my day. That night, I set my alarm clock an hour earlier. And when the alarm went off, I woke up and I cried for an hour. And then when it came time that I normally would have gotten up, you know, I got up, threw water on my face, went about my day. This became a practice for me. And days turned into weeks, and weeks actually turned into a few months. And that was my pattern. And what I found was that there were a lot of things that I was sad about. Some of them had spanned back years. And as I looked back, when those sad things happened, I always focused on other people. I always made my sadness an issue that didn't need to be brought up. My focus was on helping other people feel well and helping keep them balanced. And, you know, when you're self-employed, and especially when you're, you know, in a healing profession, you know, you can't just stay at home. You know, you got to get up, because it's like, okay, I still, you know, I feel like laying here and crying, but I still have to get up because I have to pay my rent and I've got to do all these things. So by allowing myself an hour that was totally mine to express, and I recommend everyone get a teddy bear. I spent a lot of time hugging my teddy bear and just weeping. And I allowed myself to grieve. You know, I grieved the loss of my sister. I grieved the loss of my mother, of my father, of the house, of friendships. You know, at that same time, you know, I had some dear friendships that changed. And I felt that loss very deeply. Grieving the loss of my marriage, which I never really sat down and grieved. So it was this vlog of all these times that, you know, I felt the sadness, and then it's like, nope, nope, I got to take care of other people. Nope, I'm going to keep the positive face. I'm going to do what I need to do. And yet, as I went through, and each morning, you know, like a ritual. And then after a while, I found that I wasn't taking the full hour to cry. After about a half an hour, it's like, okay, I think I'm empty. And then one morning, the alarm clock went off, and I hit the snooze bar. And I went back to sleep. And then, you know, buzzed again, hit the snooze bar, and I ended up waking up when I would normally wake up. And yet, I felt okay. I had been able to let out all the energy that had been built up inside of me. I went outside with my dog, and I noticed for the first time how truly beautiful it was where I lived. And I listened to the river, and I heard the trees, the wind moving through the trees, and I was actually able to take joy in and connect to being present where I was at. I had been able to release it, but had I not allowed myself that opportunity to fully embrace that I had every right to be sad, I had every right to grieve, and it ended. I mean, you know, stuff, life happens and stuff happens and things make me sad and things have made me sad since then. But what I learned from that was, if I shove that sadness in a box, it's not going to stop. And in fact, it starts growing on its own. It's like, you know, that thing in the back of the refrigerator that you notice the smell. You know, it doesn't just sit there. It's like, okay, something is rotting back there, and it's rotting more every single day that I don't pay attention to it. So giving yourself permission and finding a safe place to be able to release that, to be able to let that go, allows you to be able to move through it, just like with the five stages of grief. And I used to always consider that, you know, I didn't really like the phrase depression, because I felt it's like, well, that's a clinical term, and, you know, it has a certain energy that goes with it. But then I thought, how cool to be able to accept depression as a process of healing. So I like to think of it, I don't really call it the five stages of grief. I call it the five stages of healing through authentic grief. And by allowing yourself to go through all those different phases, it means that you get to experience it and let it go. It doesn't stay with you. You're not going to be sad forever. There's that feeling that, well, if I let go, I'm never going to be able to pull it back together. If I surrender to the grief, if I start crying, I'm never going to stop. And the truth is, that's not true. We all stop. We all at some point run out of tears. As long as we accept that maybe that's the most appropriate experience we can have in that moment. Give yourself permission to grieve. Give yourself permission to surrender to being sad, because on the other side of that is a lot of good stuff, including having someone have the opportunity to be there for you, to show how much you mean to them, how much they love you by being in that space and holding that space for you. And if you know somebody giving the, I'm fine, and you know them well enough to know that they're not, you know, don't confront. Just sit down with them quietly. Let them see the affection you have for them and the concern and the compassion. Let them be in that space. Don't have them try to feel better, because maybe the best thing they can feel right then is sad. Because afterwards, we find balance. By embracing all of our emotions and all of our feelings, we can be able to come back to a place of balance and not stay in that place of sadness or, you know, anger or whatever it is. We can move through all of it. It's fun until it isn't, and it sucks until it doesn't. And no matter how much it's fun, at some point it's going to suck. And no matter how much it sucks, at some point it's going to be fun again. By allowing that flow, we can be able to deal with whatever happens, because we don't have to attach to it. It's the reality of the moment. It's not the reality of forever. So embrace what it is that you need to embrace. And be and feel what you need to be and feel. Don't worry about having to get over it, which, you know, those are the three most cruel words in the English language, is get over it. And while sometimes there's a tough love piece to it, I think it can be said a lot better than that. How about you can get over it? You can do this. I believe in you. Don't give in to it. Don't suppress it. Be authentic, because it's through that authenticity that we can find the greatest joy in life, that we can find that spiritual place, that we can find that emotional place of balance and acceptance. And being able to just be happy. Thank you for joining me. And if you are experiencing, you know, something really hard or really difficult that you can't see your way out of, get help, call someone, reach out, because they're there and they're waiting for you to open that door for them, and they'll be there for you. So if you'd like to find out more about me, you can contact me through my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and friend me on Facebook. So, until next time, I wish you balance and I wish you blessings. I wish you authentic tears, because as Gandalf said, not all tears are evil. There's clarity and peace behind it, and I wish you that. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Have a wonderful week.